and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interviews. Today I have a fabulous guest whose web series, she'll tell us later how to find it, Fight or Flight, director Michelle May Cameron's here. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi.
So before we start off, since nobody told me this was a web series and I only got one episode, where can you find the web series?
Well, it's actually, it will be up on probably Facebook or YouTube, but at the moment it's still, it's just doing some festival rounds at the moment. So at the moment it's not up online yet, but okay. I'm going to start posting some stuff. There is a Facebook page that you can check out. Yeah.
Okay, great. When you started, is this the first one I saw then?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The one that you saw was the first episode.
Okay, what is this? So I usually hate to do this, but what is this whole web series about? Is it all about anxiety, like the short, or it's all different things?
Yeah, so the sort of overall theme and aim of the web series is exploring anxiety that arise out of like lots of different situations. I guess it came out of it. So it came out of a grant through Mental Health Foundation New Zealand, which I won a grant for. It was made with $10,000, and then some extra funding from another arts body. And the whole concept was to interview young people on their lived experience of mental distress, and more specifically anxiety, and destigmatize those experiences of mental distress and have some of those animated. So I wanted to make something cute but fun and memorable, but not afraid to go deep. So it covers lots of different topics that show that like everyone and anyone could have anxiety or anxious feelings depending on what you've been through.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. So when you were thinking of a topic, was it always going to be anxiety, or did you have other ideas in mind?
Yeah. At the time, I was definitely struggling with social anxiety, and PTSD. But the PTSD led to the anxiety. So I was really interested in exploring the relationship between having a trauma and then the subsequent anxieties that you might get out of that. So there's a friend of mine in the show who talks about the divorce of her parents. There's a young mother who talks about a really difficult childbirth where she had like an emergency C-section, and then that gave her
postpartum.
Excuse my mind. Yeah. And then, you know, people who have struggled with either gender identity and anxiety, and then just like really simple things like being a man, and what does that mean to be a man in New Zealand, and all the like pressures that come with that, that lead to social anxiety or antisocial patterns. Yeah.
So after doing so many shows on anxiety, what things surprised you?
That's a very interesting question. I think I learned that while on the surface everyone faces different traumas, the emotional experience, so the emotional experience that you're having in your body, in your mind, those physical experiences are familiar to everyone in some way, shape, or form. Even though the external realities are very different, different stories, everyone reported feelings of wanting to be isolated, feeling ashamed or judged by their family or friends or peers, community, not wanting to be a burden on their community, feeling things would never work out, or some even having suicidal thoughts at some point in their experience. So everyone in the show has come out of incredibly dark places, but like risen to new heights. And all of them were eager to express their themselves and pass on their knowledge and understanding coming through the tunnel of that. Yeah.
Now, this is a weird topic. I mean, how do you find people for this? Do you put an ad in the paper, or do you just go to the hospital, or Do they come to you? Where do you find them? Honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah, honestly. So Facebook was a really good start for me where I live. There's like citywide. I wanted everyone to come from the same city I lived in because of budget. And also like it was a, I wanted it to be, feel like a community project. So everyone, a lot of people responded to my Facebook posts on public community groups. And my producer did help to post some stuff on like university community, student community groups. Like I think there was a student magazine that she posted an ad out to. Yeah, so it was like real grassroots level stuff. Yeah, and I actually got way too many responses. and I ended up interviewing way too many people as well. So, yeah.
Okay, let's back this up. So you've interviewed way too many people. You just told us that. How do you decide who goes into your web series, Andy? How do you tell somebody, oh, you didn't make it? I mean, this is anxiety-based. This isn't garage sale season.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I did a pre-interview on the phone, first of all. Actually, part of the application process, you could say, is they had to do a written interview, a very short, like what would they want to talk about in this show? Because it was a very open, like, invitation for people. So then from there, I would call the certain people that I thought the stories would fit together well within the whole series. And from the phone interview, that led to a in-person interview that we filmed, and then getting to the editing room, I just tried to incorporate, I ended up interviewing 12 people, and those 12 people do end up in the first and last episodes as like a little montage, sound bites, which you would have seen, but only six, seven people actually ended up in the, as main cast sort of thing, for the rest of the episodes. And they were all really supportive of the project, and they all understood. And I was very honest and upfront communicating with them at the beginning. Like, you might, not everything might get on there, but thank you so much.
How do you approach your interview? I mean, this is a topic. It's new to you, maybe. I don't know how many interviews you've done. How do you prep for an interview? What gets you there?
I drew up an interview that kind of consisted of, I think, four segments of topics that I knew I wanted to cover. And we would film each segment and then cut and then film the next segment of questions. I think I just kind of questioned my own self and my own story and worked backwards from there. Yeah, so it was a very organic process.
Okay, this may be just be me being me. I have to ask, every interview I saw is during the day. There were no night interviews. Was that pre-planned?
Not pre-planned, but probably it was mostly just logistical reasons. Okay. Yeah, there is one interview in the third episode, I think, or fourth, where the day does turn into nighttime, and there's a bit of cutting between day and nighttime, which, you know, I'll give you the rest of the series.
Yeah, then I could done a little bit more depth here, but this is what you sent me. This is what I got to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you lead us into an animation. Now, I did notice in the animation, I do want to get a little bit more depth. There's a red purse. It's constantly throughout the whole short. It's a red purse. And I wanted to ask what that symbolizes.
Oh, I don't think it symbolizes anything. Yeah. Okay.
Because your character changes, the dialogue changes, but that purse just keeps coming back the whole time. So I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to have to ask.
You could say it could represent her story.
It could. Why was the animation choice this person's story?
It was kind of a very vivid and compelling story, and one of the few that of the participants that actually prepared the story. So I asked the participants to come in and prepare a audio story that they'd like to share, that then that would be considered for animation. And that was just one that really stood out to me as being like sort of almost mundane, but very intense at the same time. Like the events aren't like these huge things, but I wanted to show that, yeah, you know, it's so normal to have moments of panic. Yeah.
Okay, let's start there. Did you? I don't know if this is your first project. I didn't do that much research. Did you have a moment of panic while filming this? Did something occur to you that you missed that you think you should have seen ahead of time?
A moment of panic during the filming?
Correct.
Okay. Probably. Yeah. I am a little pedantic. So there was an interview that we filmed where the lighting was just terrible. And I did have a little moment of panic about that. Yeah, it was stressful. Yeah.
Now, after you show this film around, do you I presume you tour with the film?
I'm in that process now of figuring out what to do with the series. I have had some interest from distribution, but I think I would like to do a more formal tour or public screenings and things.
So you haven't screened this publicly yet?
Not beyond the cast and crew, no.
Okay, because yeah. I was hoping, I wanted to see people's react. So there we go. Have the people you filmed seen the film then?
Yeah, I think most of them have. And then like the other half haven't I don't know if they have because we're all like anxious people. And I think the idea of seeing yourself on screen is pretty scary.
Okay, so what was their reaction to seeing themselves on screen? I mean, they obviously have anxiety. I mean, they all tell me that. And I did notice some of them were more comfortable in front of the camera than others, I would say. So how was it seeing them on screen? Did they talk to you afterwards? Did they say, wow, I can't do that again or anything like that?
Yeah, a couple of them were totally sweet, totally cool, like no big deal, really proud of the work that it turned into. And then I guess there's a couple who are just too kind of self-critical about their interviews a little bit. But on the whole, everyone seemed just really pleased that they were brave enough to get their story out there, to reach out, to sit down and do, you know, a 2-hour long interview.
Hold on, the interview's 2 hours?
The interviews themselves that were uncut, you know, the filming itself took two and a half hours of interviewing. We just sat and chatted for ages. Yeah.
Interesting. But,
yeah. The episodes themselves are not 2 hours long. Don't worry.
No, I understand that. I saw that. So what are your plans for the future? I mean, this is your, first project. What are you going to do next?
Yeah. Next, I need to just figure out what is going to be my path as a filmmaker, to get this out organically, maybe through social media and all that. I think that's sort of the path I'm still on with this project. In a way, like I do want to do other things, but at the same time, I feel that what's the point in chasing something new when I haven't even properly finished and seen this all the way through to that, getting it to audiences and getting it out there to people yet. And it will happen. It's happening. I'm just doing a lot of this all on my own. And yeah, it feels like a big task sometimes.
Okay. So what's the hardest part about getting your film out there? What do you feel as a director trying to get your film out there, what the hardest thing is? Exposure?
Yeah. I think for everyone it will be different. But for me, it's definitely feeling like I have a community, or like working through my own fears of people not being interested. And I know other directors, you know, have other challenges and that sort of thing.
So if you could tell people what your film is for, is it for students mainly? Or is for people, like, would that be where we were going? Like, let's say teenagers would probably understand this film a lot better than mine, or university students. What would be your plan for them?
This is definitely aimed generally for anyone interested in mental health and mental distress. A lot of the interviewees are in their early 20s, right up through like mid-30s range. And I have had a lot of older friends watch it and be completely in love with it, and cried over it. And it's just so universal, some of those themes. Anyone who's interested in broadening their mind and understanding anxiety and how normal it is that we all experience difficult, challenging feelings. Yeah. But I would really like, I would love young people to watch it and older people to watch it, because I feel like it can broaden the minds of both of those age groups. Yeah.
Okay. I have only 3 questions left for you. They're all fun, so you can relax.
Awesome.
Your favorite film? Because it's your first time on my show.
Oh, my favorite. Oh my God. You can't ask me that.
Yes, I can. I do it to everybody, and it's fully available on my website to find out what I ask some of them.
My favorite film. God, that is so hard. I probably have a top 3.
Give them to me.
Yeah. So it would definitely, The Matrix would definitely be up there. I love The Matrix. I love The Lord of the Rings. Probably the second Lord of the Rings film. And what's a film I always recommend to people? Just something like Fight Club. I love the grittiness.
Okay. Your favorite vacation place?
My favorite vacation place. Right now it's Fiji, because I just came back from Fiji and it was so amazing. And the snorkeling was incredible and the people were fun. Yeah. Okay. Everyone should go to Fiji.
Okay. Since I think you're going to be a documentarian, one topic you will tackle in the future?
Ooh. One topic I would probably tackle in future. It would definitely be another societal issue. Maybe something around female empowerment, women's empowerment. Yeah.
Thank you for your time and have a great day.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel, and you can also support the show by going to PayPal. Thank you.